am recording. I am recording on January 22nd, 2021. And this thing that we are recording is episode 208 of the Quarantine Cast, sponsored by Voluntary Viewing. How you guys doing?
Andrew's got a backwards cap on.
I do. Just to keep the hair out of my eyes.
It's the weekend. Oh. Time to party.
Yeah, it's the freaking weekend, man.
I'm going to go breathe on people.
Baby, I'm about to have me some fun.
It's the star of Uncut Gems, The Weeknd.
Was he in Uncut Gems?
He was in Uncut Gems. He was playing himself in Uncut Gems.
So you had The Weeknd and Kevin Garnett both playing themselves?
Yeah, I thought that movie took place in the late 90s.
I mean, it was The Weeknd was playing The Weeknd before he was The Weeknd.
I don't think The Weeknd is that old, though.
Yeah. Wasn't Kevin Garnett playing Kevin Garnett while he was at the top of his game as a player?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, I feel like The Weeknd might have been playing a Weeknd-esque character, but yeah, he probably wasn't literally The Weeknd, right? The Weeknd's what, 30 years old?
Exactly 30. Let's see.
Ooh, I'm so good at ages, man.
Yeah,
good at ages.
I really am. They're all blatant guesses, and they're usually within a year.
When does Uncut Gems take place? 2010.
Kevin Garnett was in his prime.
Okay, so
Garnett was kind of past his prime by then.
Well, that's also
in the movie?
Yes,
okay,
that is.
I was wondering if that was in the movie as a concept.
That is a part of how Adam Sandler's character hypes Kevin Garnett up into buying the Ethiopian, I think it's an Ethiopian black opal. Because, hey man, you're vibing with this thing. You need some vibes if you're gonna execute on the court like you used to.
Got it.
Yes.
Interesting. It sounds like if you're looking at The Weeknd's Wikipedia page, he met a producer in 2010.
Right.
Who kind of gave a start to his whole performance. And he didn't release a mixtape until 2011, so.
No, yeah, this is The Weeknd when he's just doing he's still doing shows in the small time New York scene. And then this is where Adam Sandler's character comes in because one of his buddies realizes The Weeknd's going to be a big guy. And then Adam Sandler could become his connection to. Well, you're a rich guy now. You got to have rich asshole accessories encrusted with diamonds, and I can provide that to you.
Yeah, he is credited as himself.
It's kind of weird, though. That's rewriting his history for sure, I feel like.
No, okay.
I mean, they also, the main plot of this movie is that Kevin Garnett gets involved in, black market gem dealerships or some shit.
You don't know that didn't happen.
Also, Happy Gilmore gets murdered.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers.
He's playing Happy Gilmore.
What?
Adam Sandler in Happy Gilmore 2, Uncut Gems.
Adam Sandler in this movie could not be further from Happy Gilmore.
How is
Sad
that?
Sad Gilmore.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the opposite of Happy Gilmore?
Happy Girls? Girls.
Gilmore is the opposite of Girls.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Happy 90210. Happy Gossip Girl. What is the opposite of the TV sitcom Gilmore Girls?
I'm just saying, Happy Gilmore is a character, and I haven't seen Uncut Gems, but they don't look completely dissimilar.
You know what? No, the opposite of Happy Gilmore is Happy Gil-less. There we go.
I was going to say the opposite of the Gilmore Girls is Downton Abbey.
Ooh, okay.
Is that? That doesn't seem right either. That seems very wrong. Aren't they kind of similar?
How though?
Because Gilmore Girls is about... I don't know. You know what? I guess I thought Gilmore Girls was kind of about people with some level of class, right?
It's how do I explain this? It's the titular Gilmore girls are derived from a wealthy family, and they abhor the high class snootiness And they so they like don't associate with that family anymore, I think.
We don't know anything about anything.
Also, I misspoke. I don't know anything about anything. In the plot of the movie, they find the Black Opal in 2010, but then the main events of the movie take place in 2012, when the Weeknd would have been 22, and like, yes, further into his career. Yeah. Like now,
after his mixtape and everything.
Yeah, as he's being discovered.
Kevin Garnett was fast approaching irrelevance.
I know from the movie, he won that NBA championship.
Yeah, in 2012.
Yeah.
Boston Celtics. That's what caused LeBron to go to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kevin Garnett, yeah, was still good at that point. He just wasn't Kevin flipping Garnett, arguably best player in the entire NBA. So he's still, I think, the highest rated player in NBA 2K history. Or NBA Live history, one of those.
He got like Shaq.
Shaq?
We talked about this. Shaq's not a basketball player. He's a tractor.
Also, Shaq is good, but he's not that level. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like LeBron James has been around in those games, obviously, and there was the Steph Curry skyfucker years. As he was known. Which he's kind of returning to Skyfucker form lately, which is pretty impressive. So, who knows, man?
Take that, 1992 Men's Olympic Dream Team. You could have been better.
I don't know if 2K was around then. I was going to say Michael Jordan, but like the games Michael Jordan was on, he was definitely not Michael Jordan at that point. He was that guy who played for the Wizards. So, yeah. I think anything past the 6 championships for Jordan was just kind of like, all right, and then he did this. That's the end of it.
I still need to watch that documentary.
No, you
I would
don't.
Enjoy it. No?
It's just propaganda. It's literally Michael Jordan propaganda. So if you want to watch that, then I guess go ahead.
Have we found out what whiskey he was drinking throughout that documentary? That's what I really want, is whatever whiskey Michael Jordan was drinking in that documentary.
I'm sure it's nothing that we'll ever be able to afford.
I mean, that's not true. Like, how much could whiskey possibly be? Like, I'm sure we could afford it. It would be dumb, but we could afford it.
Most expensive.
Okay, he wasn't drinking whiskey. The most expensive bottle of whiskey of all time. He was drinking a probably extremely expensive, but like palatable whiskey, I'm assuming.
Ooh, Louis XIII Magnum Remy Martin, $10,000.
Even that, literally the most expensive whiskey of all time we could afford. It would be dumb.
Oh, no, that's the most expensive whiskey that's like available to the market. That I can find. There's more.
That's
like,
probably not what he was drinking, Andrew.
The Macallan 1926... Fine and rare, $75,000.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, yeah, if you do like aged shit, like where it's expensive because it's rare, like that's not the stuff that Michael Jordan in theory would be drinking there. He'd be drinking good stuff. The stuff that's expensive because it's fine whiskey.
What if he's just a big fan of Canada whiskey? Club?
Yeah, just Canadian rye whiskey. The shit that you get at the gas station for fucking $8.
Great for old fashions.
No, it's not. It's not great for anything.
CBS Sports thinks that he was drinking the Cinco Extra Añejo.
Oh, so tequila.
Which is a tequila brand that Jordan owns alongside a few NBA owners. It looks like it's about $1,800 a bottle. Once again, expensive, not unaffordable to us. Well, it would be an incredibly dumb purchase for someone with a net worth of us three to buy. But we could buy it if we actually wanted to.
Well, I mean, I assume he got that at a discount because he's a part owner, right? So, like,
I'm sure he got it for free. Pay for it at all. Yeah, I would hope he didn't pay for it.
Oh, so then he is drinking free whiskey.
Well,
okay.
I mean, we're just going to go in there and like, say, like, hey, man, can I get a, you know, can I get two bottles? He's like, all right, Jordan, make sure you show us your friends and family card.
Yeah.
You can get 20% off. Did you refer a friend? We can get you a sample for free.
Yeah. They like the glass more than the tequila, apparently.
What if he was just doing it to look cool? I know that Michael Jordan is, like, you know, very into the fine luxuries of life and that he would always smoke those giant cigars. But what if he would just, like, put on a brave face and, like, take a sip of that tequila, and then as soon as they cut, he'd be like, oh, God. No.
I would say that his eyes would look different than what they currently do if he is not actually an active drinker.
I know, those crying Jordan memes, those are always photos taken immediately after drinking his own tequila.
Mm. You just can't stand it.
Mm. You wouldn't think he would put his name on an inferior product, but he is the Hornets owner, so...
Ayo.
Ah!
Shots fired. Accurate shots fired.
That's a bullseye.
Hey, the Hornets have lots of promise in the future.
Not really. They have LaMelo Ball. That's about it.
That's enough.
No, it's literally not even close.
It's enough. No. LaMelo.
They're somehow a lower market team than the Bucks. They aren't allowed to be big. They aren't allowed to have anything
going on. They
don't have
history. I don't think. I mean, they're an expansion team and a somewhat recent one. They've never won a championship. The Bucks have been around for at least a while, and we had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who single-handedly dragged us to a championship. Like, we have something.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to fall back on.
Also, Milwaukee has culture.
Oh.
Unlike Charlotte.
Ooh, that's a... What's the culture of Milwaukee, Andrew?
Blue collar.
Mm.
Urban.
Not
racism. Urban?
You say urban is the culture of Milwaukee?
Yeah. I followed it up with racism and segregation.
Yeah, I was going to say, segregation is probably the biggest defining feature of Milwaukee.
Not being able to sell out a Cage the Elephant concert. Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
It was a blizzard.
They didn't know that.
It's also Cage the Elephant. Am I missing something?
Cage the Elephant's a really good band.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm saying they're not that popular. It's not like they failed to sell out Taylor Swift or something. Like,
the last cool thing I did.
It's a reasonably popular band that hasn't come out with a hit song in a very long time.
They got a lot of hit like stuff on the radio right now.
Right now, Cage the Elephant has hit songs. When was the last time that Cage the Elephant came up on the Billboard Hot 100? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I'm checking the current Billboard Top 100.
You think that they have songs currently on there? I would be amazed.
Oh, why can't I search it? I have to go through the whole list?
No, you do.
I can control F and Cage the Elephant.
Yeah, you can control
I tried that. It's like an image. It's not a text.
Skin and Bones came out 2019.
Yeah, that's on the top 100 right now, isn't it?
I don't know. I just looked up Cage the Elephant hit songs.
You can't look up hit songs. They have to actually be hit songs.
I'm pretty sure, Jesus Christ, this website is fucked. The Billboard Top 100 website is fucked.
Wait. Google knows. I typed in Billboard, and the number one recommended search for me is Billboard Cage the Elephant.
God, it's listening.
I mean, we're on Google Meet right now. It sees us in a Google Meet together. It's not listening. It associates Andrew's Google account with mine because we're in a thing together talking to each other. And then it gives me the same recommended search that he had already searched.
So I am on the Billboard. This is the Hot 100. Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm control effing for Cage and no getting Cage nothing. No.
No, I'm telling you, like, I was on that website. You can't search for text.
You definitely can, dude.
I'm doing it right now.
But... Like, so like Ariana Grande has the number 3 song. If I control F Ariana,
it comes nothing. Up. It literally does for me.
Oh, it does. Okay.
I was like, dude.
No, I get it. Sometimes the page doesn't load in all the way and you control F too early and you can't search it. I've been there. Mostly in spreadsheets, but this too, I guess it works.
We'd have to go week by week, and I don't think that any time within the last decade Cage the Elephant's been in the top 100. I'd be amazed.
It was a rough 2020 for everybody. Oh, wait, past decade, not past year.
Oh, definitely not past year.
Listen, the 2010s, ooh, buddy.
Black Madonna by Cage the Elephant peaked at number 2 in 2020, June of 2020.
June of 2020? All right, yep. Let's go to June 2020.
I don't know if I've ever heard that song.
Yeah, me neither.
You've definitely heard Black Madonna.
I'm in June 2020.
There's also a bunch of songs from that album that peaked in like 2019.
See it. I'm in June of 2020. Are you sure it's not like the alt Billboard?
I know. I'm on Billboard.com.
Can you link the article? I'm literally in the same website and scrolling through the weeks of June 2020.
Oh, I have heard this one. Actually, they performed that live. Huh. Yeah.
I just went through all 4 weeks.
I linked the page because every artist has a page on Billboard.com, and it shows you what songs they have and where they've peaked, and at what time.
Black Madonna, 6/5/2020. I'm clicking on the link to 6/5/2020. Yeah, it's the alternative airplay charts. It is not the Billboard Hot 100. Which is exactly what I expected. I was like, there is no fucking way Cage the Elephant had the number 2 song in the entire country this last year. Look, man. Yeah, these are all alternative airplay. Charts.
Ain't No Rest for the Wicked peaked at 83 in 2009 on the.
That's what I knew it. I said 10 years ago. Ain't No Rest for the Wicked probably made the top 100. That's probably it. The only song they've ever had that made the top 100, and it's their most popular song by far. And it came 11 or 12 years ago now.
Shake Me Down peaked at number 78 in 2011.
Okay. That's also 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not the one that I know. I don't know it as well as Ain't No Rest for the Wicked, but hey, fair enough.
Shake me down. Not a lot of people come around.
Oh, I see how you do it. Yeah. You have to change the top.
Yeah, no, I figured it out. Yeah. I hate this website. It's so fucked. It's just, there's so many banners that keep like popping in and out, and there's like 4 ads playing at once. It's awful. Billboard, fix your shit.
Well,
fix it.
Now we know.
Yeah.
Cage the Elephant has had 2 songs that ever made the Billboard Hot 100 chart in their entire history. And the other one was 10 years ago to the dot, which is exactly what I said in the last 10 years.
They're a very, very underrated band.
I'm not saying that they're bad. Once again, I love Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. That's my that's a jam for me. But I'm saying they are not that popular, and it's not an indictment of the city of Milwaukee that they couldn't sell out a concert there.
I forgot that's how we got here.
Right? That's exactly how we got here.
That's how we got here, and we'll figure out where we're going after a clap sync in the wacky post roll. We'll be right back. Beautiful.
Ooh.
How we getting wacky, guys? How we getting weird?
It's Friday.
Yeah, weekend. The weekend.
That guy from Uncut Gems.
We are going to know whether or not the Packers are playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, in just a couple of days.
I'm feeling pretty good. I think the Packers defense can keep Brady in check, and Rodgers just needs to play as well as he always does, and we'll be fine.
Except for the last time he didn't play well was against the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
He's got a fire in him.
Rodgers tossed a dud was against the Bucs. I mean, it seems like this is how it always fucking goes. I say always. I mean, it happened last year where the Packers' worst game came against a team on the road that we then met in the NFC Championship game.
But that team was objectively so much better than us.
Yeah, like I think you're right, I'm willing to say
we are a better football team.
The Bucs have built their team seemingly in a way to specifically combat the offense that we run.
Yeah, they built their defense that way. I would argue that they built their offense very much in a way that does not go well for them and gives the advantage to the Packers. But yeah,
their defense
is built specifically to stop our offensive attack, basically. Especially if Vita Vea plays.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are like far and away the most dominant run defense of all time when Vita Vea is in the
It's
game.
Crazy. So. I saw some stats that when Vita Vea played, teams only attempted to run the ball like 85 times.
Yeah.
14 of those times the run went for zero or fewer than 0 yards. Yeah. And the average was like 2 yards a carry.
Yeah.
It only went more than 10 yards twice. It's crazy.
It was like games where Vita Vea played, teams averaged, I think it was something like 38 rushing yards a game. It was unbelievably low. So they might have the most dominant run defense of all time if Vita Vea is in. And then on top of it, yeah, like they're built in such a way that they can get pressure on Aaron Rodgers very quickly with
because
really, really fast linebackers.
Right.
And then cover up for how weak they are in the secondary.
Yeah.
So, which makes them somewhat exploitable. It makes it so that, hey, if Matt LaFleur creates a winning game plan, we could put up 28 points in the blink of an eye. Because
it's one of those things that if we get them to blitz both linebackers, and if Antoine Winfield misses the game because he got hurt in practice, I think. I'm not sure exactly where he's standing.
Or
if
we
get them
standing
to blitz, then the middle of the field is going to be wide open because their secondary is kind of shit. It's just that they've been able to counteract that by not allowing teams to have enough time to actually throw there.
Mm-hmm. That's been their strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying the difference is, to me last year, the 49ers were just an objectively better team than the Packers in every phase of the game.
Yeah.
We were a good team, not a great team. They were legitimately a great team. And we had to play in San Francisco. And then this year, I think we are a better team than the Buccaneers. They can absolutely beat us. I think they probably beat us 3 times out of 10. And we probably take 7 out of 10. But it's in Lambeau. We're a better team than them. It's not the same situation for me as last year, where I was going in like, there's like a 10% chance we win this game. Like, we have a chance, of course, but it's slim. This year, I'm like, no, we're definitely favored. Which makes it all the more terrifying.
You know what?
Because if we do lose, our window slams shut quickly.
Brady's old. He can't play in cold weather. Every ounce of his metabolism is working overtime just to get him on the field. It can't
Brady
keep him warm and do that.
In an uncovered stadium in New England for like 1,000 years.
Brady's a bad example because there are plenty of players on the Buccaneers who have never played cold weather their entire lives, basically, because they went to college and in the South and then went to Tampa immediately out of college. Like Levante David, Devin White, Mike Evans, I think Chris Godwin was another one. No, Chris Godwin came from the Big Ten. He came from Penn State. I don't know. Me and Ian were looking up a bunch of them to see, because you can objectively count how many games these guys have played in frigid temperatures in their entire lives. Like, it's like 2 or 3. Like, it's versus a team that has to play at least 4 cold weather games every year. So, you gotta hope. That's all we can do.
I'd rather be in our position than the Bucks position right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think no, Bucks definitely. Fans would trade.
I mean, even if we had to go down to Florida, I would say we should still be favored. Like you said, Ryan, we are a very good team this year. We're really, really, really good. It's just a matter of, you know, can we give Aaron Rodgers enough time to throw? Can our team make tackles on dump offs and stop the run down the middle? Those are the three things we need to do.
It's any given Sunday. That's the terrifying part of it, because so much is at stake. People are mad because there's going to be like 20,000 fans in the stands during the Super Bowl. So if Tampa does go to the Super Bowl, they'll legitimately have a home field advantage. So people are definitely pulling for us. It's in Tampa, yeah.
Jesus.
Maybe the first time in a long time that the home team gets to play in their own stadium in the Super Bowl.
So. I don't mean for this to drag out. Do we know when professional athletes are getting vaccinated? Like, what is their ranking on the vaccination tier list?
I think it depends on where you are. In some places, different counties and stuff like that are kind of leaving it up to discretion. So it's like, yeah, no, vaccinate frontline workers first, but then also after that, get like teachers and old people and government officials. Yeah, some places aren't even letting people do that. It's just, it is all going to like hospital workers and then retirement homes. If you are living in an area where it's kind of left up to discretion, I would assume that professional athletes would work their way up there pretty quickly just because they have the money to do so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
meanwhile, in California, we have like 800,000. It's LA County specifically, I guess I should say. 800,000 frontline healthcare workers that need to get vaccinated, and then like 1.3 million adults over the age of 65. Then they're like the first two groups. And so that requires 4 million doses because there's two doses per person. We currently have 800,000. So we need to make up 3.2 million doses, which we're not projected to get in until June. So in LA County, we might not get our first two groups done until June.
Nice. So.
So we might be for a long time. And now Fauci said yesterday that the new strain from the UK might be more vaccine resistant than earlier projected. And it's just like, this might be forever, man. We might live like this forever.
Okay, so my lease is up in May. I can crash my parents' place for like a month or two before I head out to LA. I'll be fine.
We're not going to be next in line, Luke.
Yeah, no, it's...
If the elderly and like healthcare workers take until June... Yeah, we wouldn't be seeing vaccines until at least 2022. At least. So, we're going to see. We're going to see what happens. That's for sure.
It'll be fine. Biden's got this.
I'm just saying the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
It's a brutal one.
And the reality of this situation is that the final episode of the quarantine cast for the week has come to an end. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Our email, voluntaryreviewing@gmail.com, for questions and business opportunities. We have an Instagram. We have a YouTube. Andrew's uploading some great stuff to both of those. Check them out. Otherwise, follow me on Twitter @LucasDerider for all of my writing. And then, of course, check out the ActBlue link in the description down below if you'd like to make a donation to a collection of great causes. Keep an eye out for the Voluntary Reviewing podcast, which should be coming sometime this weekend or Monday. Thank you for tuning in, and good luck out there, everybody.